What we're going to do here is finish that message on the gift of tongues that I opened last week. So that's where we're headed, guys. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where we're going to pick up today. We left off last week. What we are up to is major point number 4. We're going to clear up some misconceptions about the gift of tongues. Corinthians chapter 13, that's known as the love chapter, but there is also instruction there about the gift of tongues. We're going to read verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that you just sustain me, Lord God. Take this dizziness off of me and this shortness of breath in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, just use me. Put a watch on my mouth that I only speak the words you've ordained for the day, not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I have been talking about throughout the opening of this message last week, and now we pick up again clearing up misconceptions, I told you last week that the church in Corinth, the Corinthian church, was way out of balance with the gifts and especially with tongues and trying to measure a person's spirituality by whether they spoke in tongues or not, which is absolutely absurd. You want to see the most grounded, most mature person I have ever seen in my life. It was not the ones that were using the gifts of God. It's the ones that had manifest the fruit of the Spirit. All right? And I don't say that in a way that I'm putting down the gifts. I'm just putting things in right order. I have seen people's lives absolutely destroyed by getting out of balance in the gifts and not being grown up in the fruit of the Spirit. And so, because of the lack of maturity, misusing the gifts and not bringing glory to God, with that immaturity, quite often pride comes in. If they have some gifts, I'm praying for some people and they get healed or something or whatever, and then all of a sudden they think it's about them. They can't help themselves because they're immature. Is somebody with me? Well, I've always told you, if you lay hands on somebody and they get healed, praise God, that is wonderful. But don't ever think you did it. Always give God the glory because it's always Him that does it. It's always Him that gets the glory. So if I speak in the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. There it is. The fruit of the Spirit is love with the attributes of love behind that. All right? Love with 8 attributes behind that of love, what love is. That's the fruit of the Spirit. So if we don't have love, we're a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Just making noise when we're speaking in tongues. We're just making noise when we're praying over people for healing. What is our motivation? Is it to make ourselves look like somebody? Or is it because we love and care for people and genuinely want to see them healed? I pray that's what's the case with all of you, that you want to see people healed. I know that's what it is in my case. I want to see people healed. I want to see their lives better. I want to see the manifestation of God in their lives. Skip down to verse 8. We're going to read verses 8 through 10 of chapter 13 of Corinthians. And it says, love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. Okay, now this is a passage right here that is key in the debate between the naysayers, which are the ones that say gifts went away with the apostles when they left. Okay? There's a lot of people that say that. They're not standing on solid footing scripturally by making that statement, but there are many that say that. And let me explain what's going on here. They take this scripture out of context, and they say, look right here. It says, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. So the gift of prophecy isn't around anymore. It died with the apostles when they left. This is what I've had many different people that are naysayers tell me over the years. Of course, they don't get anywhere with that with me, but... But let me explain. It says they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. And they assert, well, see, yeah, no more need for tongues. We have the Word of God now. We have the written Word now. And so this is the kind of stuff that they will tell you. It's the kind of thing that they've been led to believe. It says where there is knowledge, it will pass away. And that's talking about supernatural knowledge. A gift of knowledge, a gift of understanding things, they'll tell you, oh no, that's gone. We have the Word of God now. And they're absolutely, completely mistaken, because what they've forgotten to do is look at verse 10, where it says, when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. Why is that key? Because that is talking about when Christ returns for his bride. And he takes his bride, the church, out of this earth and meet with him in the clouds and go and reside with him forever. Amen?
Amen.
Then there is no more need for those gifts. And then only. Until then, the gifts are supposed to be active today in the body of Christ. Does anybody understand? You understand what we're talking about? So, now, you are armed for battle next time somebody says, why do you go to that church that speaks in tongues? You tell them. Let's sit down and look at the Word. All right? Fifth major idea, let's look in Scripture at the different ways of receiving the gift of tongues. The different ways that it's come. First one we want to look at is Acts 2, verses 1 through 8. It's when the apostles and many others received it at Pentecost. Acts 2, verses 1 through 8, the account of Pentecost. Says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. People say, oh, we got house church, or we got that, or we got this. We don't need We don't need church anymore. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Rambo makes a great movie, but makes a lousy life, Christian life. If you're thinking Rambo is the key, you got the wrong answer. Suddenly! I couldn't let that go. A sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language?" You know, over the years since I got saved, by the way, I'm going to go over a little bit today. You all good with that? Because I got to finish this message. Okay? Over the years, I have spent so much time praying with Pastor Jim Mason and praying in tongues that I just know the tongues that come through him in different times of prayer. I just recognize the different languages, okay? And when I was in Africa one of the times, I was in a meeting, and in these pastors' conferences I was doing, they came from all over. So I don't know if this person, when he was praying, this African was speaking in tongues, or whether he was speaking in his language, dialect, okay? I don't know which it was, but I'm telling you that I went, because it was a language, dead-on language, that Pastor Jim Mason Sr. would speak a lot when he was praying in tongues, and I mean it was verbatim. Even though I don't know that language, it was verbatim. That made this, I don't know, it just opened things up for me, a fresh revelation. Acts 2, verses 12 through 15. We'll pick up in verse 12. I'm trying to go quick, but I don't want to miss any key points here. So in verse 12, it picks up, says, "Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They've had too much wine.' Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. 'Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. So people get confused and people like to make fun of things, right? My mom was one of the people that used to make fun of things. She used to make fun of the assembly before she got saved. For the Assembly of God church here in Fulton. Oh, that's that church where they roll in the aisles. Holy rollers, they call them. I remember her telling me that when I was a kid. And so I grew up, oh yeah, that's the Church of the Holy Roller. They go, for what? I don't know why they do it, but they roll in the aisles. That's what my mom told me. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, so, you know, I'll be doing, yep, that's the Church of the Holy Rollers. Oh, you go to that church? Do you ever get hurt when you're rolling? I was a kid, I didn't know. So fast forward. I go through all my idiocy years, and when I'm 25 years old, I get born again. What do? Well, after I got born again, and a week later, I got baptized with the Holy Spirit, and was speaking in tongues, and praying in the Spirit, and all that, I go to testify to my mom. Hey, Mom! I'm a holy roller! And then I explained it to her. And I told her, it's real, Mom. What you have supposed is just a bunch of weird people. It's real. And your son is here to tell you it's real. I remember her taking her head in her hands and going, oh, well, I don't know what to think about all this. I said, well, I know I've given you a lot to digest, but just hang in there. Well, fast forward, about 4 years after I got saved, they came into this Holy Roller church that we planted, and my dad got saved in the second service of this church. In the second service of this new church plant, he got saved, and my mom had gotten saved in an altar call out of the Baptist church in Comanche when I was pastoring out there. And this Holy Roller son ended up being their pastor until the age died. And I did their funerals. Only by the Lord's might. That was the hardest, most honoring thing that I've ever done, is to do my mother's funeral. Something about a mom, guys. Just something about a mom. And so, anyway, moving on. So, there was the way that the Holy Spirit came through Pentecost. Then it's through the preaching of the gospel. That don't sound hard to believe. Acts 10, verses 44 through 46. Acts 10, verse 44 through 46. Beginning to read in verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Isn't that great? So soon through the preaching of the word, they receive. Next, through the laying on of hands. Boost down up there to Acts 19, verses 1 through 7. Acts 19, 1 through 7. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we've not even heard there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one to come after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus, and Paul placed his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all." So what do we got going on here? We see that they were baptized baptism, in John's baptism, which was a baptism of repentance, and this is all stuff I teach in the class that I do before I baptize anybody here. I've always taught this because there's so much misconceptions about baptism. So then, on hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. So they were baptized, water baptized, into the name of the Lord Jesus. Alright? And then, right after that, man, they got the crash course. Somebody know what I'm talking about? I mean, I thought I got the crash course. There was a week in between for me getting saved and then getting baptized with the Holy Spirit. There was just 1 week there. But that was, man, they got water baptized, and apparently they came up out of the water, and Paul said, "Here, take it." And he put his hands on them, and right, they're still dripping with the water baptism, and all of a sudden they're dripping with the Holy Ghost of the living God. Now that's quick. I bet they had a tough time catching up with that. I bet they were up late that night talking about what in the world just happened to us. So major point number 6, God wants to shake us up and fill us with His Holy Spirit to the point of overflowing. Are we ready to really hunger and thirst for God and His gifts of the Spirit so that we will be equipped for every good work that He would direct us to? But the believer's prayer, which is recorded in Acts 4, verses 23 through 31. Believer's prayer. Acts 4, 23 through 31. Again, as with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, also with the gifts, we are told we must ask. It's not going to happen automatic. We must ask. All right? On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "You made the heaven and the earth and the sea, and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against His anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city, to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus. Listen, I don't feel led. I was tentatively planning on doing this at the end of this message, laying hands on people that are asking for the gift of tongues specifically. But as you can see, there are many ways of receiving it. We don't need to do that. And in light of things getting later now, and we don't need to do that. God will give you that gift if you ask. I'm telling you. And so if you want more of God, and you want more power in your life, you see, when you pray in the Spirit, when you're by yourself, it edifies you. Listen, I've been a tongue talker for over 40 years. I know what I'm talking about. And the reason it so builds us up, ourselves, is because we don't know what we're praying, and our mind don't get in the way. And when we're praying in the Spirit and praying in the perfect will of God, then things are set right. And even though we don't even know what God did in us through all that, we're refreshed. And we can get through another day. Amen?
Amen.
So in conclusion, Jesus said, we don't have because we don't ask. He also said, ask believing, and you will have what you ask for. John 15, verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. Luke 11, verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And then Mark 11, 22 through 25. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. And then finally, John 7, verses 37 through 39. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. That concludes the message. I encourage you, do not be afraid of the gifts of God. Don't make you into some kind of uncontrollable monster. Okay? It turns you, I shouldn't even be saying it. The Holy Spirit is a person, the third person of the Trinity. And he's not a it, he's a he. So he, the Holy Spirit, empowers your life and makes you more usable in God's hands and in his purpose as he prepares this world and his people for his return. And it's a powerful thing to know that you're in the perfect will of God. There is no replacement for that. I have never had no greater peace in my life than the times when I know, in my knower, I am right where I am supposed to be in God. Then I have peace on every side, even if I am a little dizzy. It too shall pass. I've just been waiting for my healing. I want you to understand this. I'm not giving up. I've been trying to do everything I can, and I'm going to try to keep doing that. All right? And, you know, what the heck? If nothing else, my boy's got my wife who's not preaching. Can we stand together? Lord, I just thank you for this body of believers. Lord, I thank you for this time. Lord, we don't always know why you allow things to come into our lives, but I know this morning It's not been easy. And I know also that there are people in this congregation, it's not been easy for them either. But Lord, here we are. We're here to meet with you, to serve you, pour out your Spirit. Father, for those that go to their own quiet place and pray for the gift of tongues, I pray in Jesus' name that you will pour it out, Father God, for your glory and for your name's sake, so that, Lord, these people will be empowered in a greater measure to be used by you. Lord, I thank you for the dinner and movie tonight. I pray your blessing on it. Bring us back tonight safely to eat and fellowship together, and Lord God, to take in a movie that builds us up spiritually. I thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.